Hello, everyone, and welcome again to the History of Language podcast, where this episode is the second in our block of the Germanic languages. Once again, my name is Clockwork, and I'll be your host and guide through languages over time. I want to apologize for the delay in this week's episode, as it has been plagued by multiple technical issues, and for the episode's shortness, because it's not particularly long. This week's episode is on the split between Northwest Germanic and East Germanic, and sets the stage for Common Runic, Old English, Old High German, and Low Franconian. The episode will primarily focus, however, on the Gothic language as we might find it in the 4th century CE. Let's first set a timeline for the dissemination of the Germanic peoples in the first few centuries CE. In the late 2nd through 3rd centuries, the Goths potentially migrated south and east from southern Sweden to continental Europe. I say potentially, and we'll discuss that later. From there, Gothic groups continued to spread, and Ostrogoths settled alongside the Hunnic Empire, while the Visigoths migrated west through the Roman Empire before establishing a kingdom in southern France and northern Spain. In the late 4th century, the Erminianes migrated down the Elbe River, settling what we now think of as Germany, and paved the way for Old High German. In the 5th century, if the Venerable Bede's account is to be believed, which as it stands is not the case, at least not in its entirety, the Angles, Saxons, and Utes migrated to the British Isles, displacing the Celts, Picts, and Romano-Britons. This move left the Isvianese in what is now the Netherlands and Frisia, and left the Jutland Peninsula largely empty. The Danes migrated from Schaland to Jutland, while the Svear and Geats of Sweden and the Nords of Norway settled their kingdoms. This ultimately will set the stage for the divisions that we find in the Germanic languages. The North and West Germanic languages kept in closer contact for at least another century after the Goths split off from the larger speaker group. As such, the languages in these groups are more similar, as their innovations spread throughout the neighboring speech communities. Comparing Gothic to its contemporaries of pre-Old Norse or Common Runic, Anglo-Frisian, Old High German, and Low Franconian, Gothic seems archaic in comparison. As far as the culture is concerned, much of what was discussed in last week's episode on Common Germanic with regards to the speakers of East and Northwest Germanic still holds true. So let's focus on the Goths and their history and culture. The origin of the Goths is unknown. According to the Roman Ostrogothic writer Jordanes, in the only surviving history of the Goths, the Getica, the Goths migrated first from southeastern Sweden to what is now northern Poland and displaced the inhabitants of the area. This can potentially align the Goths with two tribes which also existed in Sweden in late antiquity, the Geats of southeastern Sweden and the Gots of Gotland, an island southeast of mainland Sweden. As an aside, there is also a theory that the Utes of the Jutland Peninsula are the same as the Geats and actually comprises some evidence for my personal research, but that's for another time. However, some modern scholars disagree with Jordanes, stating that the Goths likely came from further south in the Germanic lands. As it stands, it's all a bit up in the air. In the area of modern-day Ukraine and Romania, the Gothic Chernyakhov culture flourished, producing stonemasonry and pieces of metallurgic art prior to the invasion of the Hunnic Empire. Amongst the Visigoths, the villages were stratified with at least one elite family, though more if the village was sufficiently large at the top, the freemen below them, and the slaves at the bottom. Among the Ostrogoths, remains of their buildings show multi-tiered dwellings, with sunken first floors and an additional floor atop the first. The Chernyakhov culture also shows evidence of both interment burials as well as cremations. However, in both groups, weapons were not seen as burial goods. Combs, jewelry, tools, and pottery, however, are all found in gravesites. The Visigoths were a predominantly agrarian people, raising wheat and barley and tending to flocks of sheep and herds of goats and cattle. The Goths practiced, initially, a religion that descended from common Germanic paganism. Among the Goths, the primary deities were Gott or Gapt, identified with Odin and given as the founder of their peoples. Teus, the equivalent of Tyr, the god of war and the patron deity of the Thervingi, and Fergunis, the god of thunder associated with Thor and the Roman Jupiter. Later, the Goths converted to Christianity, with the Ostrogoths converting to Arian Christianity. Much of what we know of the Gothic language comes thanks to the work of the Gothic Arian bishop Wulfila, who translated the Bible into Gothic. The Visigothic kingdom in Hispania converted to Catholicism, however, likely due to the influence of Rome. The Ostrogoths, on the other hand, were allied with the Patriarchate of Constantinople. By the 6th century CE, the Visigothic kingdom ruled Hispania. The Ostrogoths ruled modern-day Italy, southern France, most of Switzerland, and much of the Balkans. To the north, the Burgundians ruled southeastern France and northwest Switzerland. Across the Mediterranean, the Vandals ruled the coasts of northern Algeria and Libya, as well as Tunisia, the islands of Sardinia and Corsica, and the westernmost tip of Sicily. Let's talk a bit about some changes that Gothic saw from Common Germanic, or perhaps easier, the seeming lack thereof. Because of the fact that Gothic was a linguistically conservative language, meaning it didn't change much, the documentation of it has been invaluable to researchers studying Common Germanic. Before H, nasal consonants were lost, and the vowels A, I, and U, so A, E, and U, became lengthened. Long I was written with the digraph EI in imitation of Greek, where the digraph of epsilon and iota represents the same sound, a long I. An interesting retention rather than a change is the voiced alveolar sibilant, so z, which roticized and became r in other Germanic languages. As well, the Gothic language retained many features of the Proto-Indo-European and Common Germanic morphological system, which we'll talk about in a moment. Gothic never went through any of the following changes: Germanic umlaut, or word stem vowel mutation, or roticization, or z turning into r. As well, Gothic never lost a true passive voice that's not found in other contemporary Germanic languages, the dual number in pronouns and verbs, or the use of reduplication to form preterite or past tense verb forms, for example the verb leikan, to play, versus leleik, played. Gothic retained the bulk of the Common Germanic declensional system, with the cases the nominative, accusative, genitive, and dative in both the singular and plural numbers for all of them. As well, it retained the vocative case in archaisms, sometimes manifesting as identical to the nominative case, and in other places, the accusative. Like Common Germanic, Gothic nouns declined by root stem, like the A, long O, I, U, an, on, and en stems, so A-N, long O-N, and long I-N. And Gothic nouns retained all three nominal genders, masculine, feminine, and neuter. The sounds of Gothic were as follows: the vowels I and U, so E and U, as well as the vowels E, O, and A, the long vowels E, U, E, O, E, O, and A. By the 5th century, the Germanic diphthongs I and au had likely merged with e and o, and this is evidenced by, for example, Gothic names written in Latin using au first, then, later, o. In the 4th century CE, the word Ostrogoth was written Ostrogoti in Latin, then in the 5th century as Ostrogoti. The consonant inventory would have been the nasals m, n, and ng, the stops p, b, t, d, k, g, qua, gua, and potentially gya. The fricatives f, v, s, z, h, r, h, and h. The approximants l, y, and w, and the trill r. Gothic consonants tended to devoice word finally, much like what we would find in modern German. The fricative ch was an allophone of g only found before a voiceless consonant. For example, dachs, meaning day. Compare Norwegian dag, German tag, and English, of course, day. The fricatives v, th, and ch were allophones of B, D, and G, respectively, and occurred intervocalically, so between vowels. For example, the words havan, to have, or thuda, people. Compare English have, or German habe, and German Deutsch, Dutch dietz, and English Dutch, respectively. As mentioned before, Gothic declined via stem groups, and here are some examples. We have the A stem, dachs, meaning day. In the nominative singular, it's dachs. in the accusative singular, dog. Genitive singular, dagis. Dative singular, daga. Nominative plural, dagos. Accusative plural, dagans. Genitive plural, dage. And dative plural, dagam. The long O stem, giva, gift. The nominative and accusative singular, giva. The genitive singular, givos. The dative singular, give. The nominative and accusative plural, givos. The genitive plural, givo. And the dative plural, givum. The pronouns are quite similar to Common Germanic, featuring, for example, the first person singular nominative ich, accusative mich, and genitive mina, as well as the first person plural nominative wies. The second person nominative thu, accusative thuk, and genitive thina. The second person plural nominative jus. The third person singular nominative masculine is, neuter ita, and feminine si. And the reflexive pronouns, the accusative sik, genitive sina, and dative sis, as well as the interrogative pronouns, the nominative singular masculine huas, neuter hua, and feminine huo. All, of course, related to the English what, or depending on your dialect, what. The numbers in Gothic are 1, eins, 2, twe, 3, thria, 4, fiðvor, 5, fimf, 6, sechs, 7, sivun, 8, achto, 9, niun, and 10, tehun. So now for how it may have sounded when coming out of someone's mouth. For this week, our example of Gothic is fitting, as we historical linguists thank Wulfila for allowing us to have written attestations of this language. Our example will be Matthew 6:9-13, the Lord's Prayer. Atta unsar thu inhiminam, vihne namo thin, qui me thiudi nasus thins, verte vilja thins, sue inhimina jah ana erte. Hlef unsarana thana sintinan gifuns hima daga, jah aflet unstatis skulan siema, swasve jah vis afletam them skulam unsarem. Jah ni bringes uns in frestubnie, ac losi uns afthama uvilin, unte thina is thiudardi, jah mats, jah vulthus in e wins. Or, in English, at least early modern English, so the King James Version, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Thank you for tuning in to the History of Language. This concludes the East Germanic, but really Gothic, branch of Germanic. Next week, we'll have a look at Proto-Norse and Early Old Norse. After that, we'll go through the modern Scandinavian languages, then Anglo-Frisian and Old English, then Middle English, then Modern English, and it'll be interesting as an English speaker, writing essentially a bare-bones reference grammar of my own language. After that, Old High German, then German, and after that, Low Franconian and Dutch, and we may as well cover Afrikaans as well. That'll conclude the Germanics, and we'll move on to the other Indo-European language families from there, and, in turn, the other language families previously outlined. If you like the content, please consider liking the Facebook page, which you can find by searching for The History of Language on Facebook. If you want updates about the show, the Facebook page is the place to go. If you really like the content, please consider becoming a patron on Patreon at patreon.com/historyoflanguage. I'll see you next week. Thank you again for tuning in.